Lee with a nifty move there.
He could go all the way, and the freshman takes it to the house with no time on the clock. Are you kidding me? He takes it 60 yards. Welcome to Redbird Nation.
And the shoe. She gives it to Katie Broadway. Broadway taking it herself down the left side. No good. But she's going to get a rebound. Kicks it out. Katie Sykes for three. No,
that's good.
She got it. Katie Sykes for three.
From local high school action to the birds and the pros, with live interviews, reporting, debate, and discussion, WZND's Red Zone brings you all the sports you can handle each week. The Red Zone starts now, only on 103.3 WZND,
the pulse of Redbird Nation.
Happy Thursday, birds. Welcome into this edition of the Red Zone from the WZND studio. I'm Mikey Fornelli alongside Dane Dreyfus in his penultimate show here before his graduation. And then, of course, Blake Borgart filling in for David Moses today as David rests up. Hopefully he feels better soon before next week's show. But Blake, how are you today?
I'm great. You know that one Cam Newton video where he's like, I'm back.
I was literally about to bring that up.
And it's his first touchdown against the Cardinals.
I was literally about to bring that up.
Well, I was thinking about putting it on the wide orbit today for you to put it in there. I just didn't have the time.
I was going to say, like, in the words of Cam Newton, I'm back, because we are all back in the saddle today after missing last week for Thanksgiving. What's your favorite Cam Newton moment, Dane? That's your icebreaker for today.
Cam Newton moment?
Yeah.
Is probably when he asked, like, the female reporter and was like, oh, you know routes, and was super misogynistic, and then proceeded to lose his Oikos, Greek Oikos yogurt deal, and now Dak Prescott's the Greek yogurt guy.
That was one of the funniest little, like, two or three game stretches last year when Cam Newton was back with the Panthers and had like one or two touchdowns in like goal line formation. Like, he wasn't even the starter, but they like put him in like basically in like a Taysom Hill type situation, and then he got a touchdown or two, and then they dropped him like three games later. And it was all because the Patriots dropped him and then Mac Jones replaced him, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then I also, you know, his situation with the Panthers was very similar to how he performed on my fantasy teams. He was in the lineup for 3 weeks and then on the waiver wires immediately after.
I mean, you could have just put like a middle linebacker in at quarterback too. Like, he just got, like, because he's an over-glorified quarterback, like, he was that guy. He was him. And then he had I think it was either the elbow or shoulder injury. It was never the same.
Yeah, think of like 2015-16 type area when the Panthers only lost one game. I mean, he was awesome that year.
With his number one receiver being Ted Ginn Jr.
Right, like, he was awesome that year. Did he win the MVP that year?
He did.
Yeah, I figured. So let's talk a little bit, actually very off topic, but I think we're going to talk a little bit to start the show about Redbirds basketball, specifically the women's basketball team, getting right into a Redbird recap with these guys. 5-1 on the season, losing their first game on Sunday after five straight wins. And they are being carried right now by a great team, but especially former D2 Player of the Year, Paige Robinson, the best pickup in Redbird sports this season, I would say early on.
Coming off her career high for the Birds, 37 points in 37 minutes. A point a minute is ridiculous to think about, but she was 7-for-7 from the three-point line. Mikey, me and you were both there, and she just simply could not miss.
Yeah, that was the Sunday before Thanksgiving against Wisconsin. The Big Ten team comes in and loses to ISU at Sefke Arena 62-57. And that was just a wonderful game, Blake. I was there calling it for Z&D. You were there calling it for a class. And what did you see in that one?
Well, something that I saw immediately, and I touched on it a little bit in my pregame, was how the Birds, the last time they played a Big Ten team was the University of Iowa in the NCAA tournament. And they got bullied in the paint throughout that entire game. And that really was what allowed Iowa's three-point shooting to get open up late in the game. But the Birds, they crowded the paint. There were multiple players down there for them. Deanna Wilson, Jasmine McGinnis-Taylor, and Shauna Wright Gaskins as well, playing a little bit of an undersized role in the paint, but they were bullying the 6'4" Sarah Williams, the true freshman out of Brooklyn, New York, for the Badgers. And it seemed like Kristen Gillespie, her game plan was we're gonna crowd the paint and we're gonna let the threes fly. Between Mary Crompton and Paige Robinson, those two of them combined for 17 total threes, and they had a 3-point percentage well above 50, which is well above the NCAA average.
I mean, they both combined for over 50% shooting from the 3-point line, and honestly, since the loss of Juju Redmond this past season, someone had to pick up the slack, and it looks like early on Paige Robinson is that candidate. And Mary Crompton, too, she's probably more of a secondary piece. Like, you don't necessarily want her to be your number one. But it looks like this team, just through their scoring splits in down by quarter, like, it looks like they're not a very fast starting team. They've been outscored in the first quarter 94 to 86. But through the rest of the quarters, they have outscored their opponents by over 15 points each.
So. Well, as good as Mary Crompton is, it's always been known over her time here at ISU, which is, I think, 5 years at this point. She is a better when she's a guard first that can focus on assists, and then when she gets her open three-point shot, she doesn't miss. I mean, even in the loss against UNLV, it was 73-66. Crompton only had 2 points, so she hits her 1-3 she attempted. Could have been a totally different game. And Paige Robinson had 19 in that one, but Crompton still led the game with 4 assists. And that was much more against Wisconsin as well. So when Crompton can kind of sit back and allow herself to play through Paige Robinson and Deanna Wilson, Maya Wong, that's when it becomes a really talented team.
And that's, Mikey, we talked about this a little bit throughout the week. ISU did not play their best basketball. That was very apparent on the floor. But UNLV was out there playing their hearts out. And to think that ISU could be 6-0 right now if they just hit a couple of more shots, it'd be a completely different story for this team. They didn't play their best game of basketball and they lost. UNLV played the absolute best game of basketball and they barely beat ISU. So if ISU can get things rolling a little bit later on in the season, get a couple more shots falling their way, this team is going to be very dangerous come March.
I mean, like I said earlier in the year, these games are awesome to, like, work out the kinks and stuff, but it's the in-conference games that truly matter and really show where your team is at. And I think I mentioned earlier that, like, Wisconsin always kills it. Like, for the men's program, they always kill it in the preseason, and then they don't do so hot in the regular season. But for this women's basketball team coming off of Missouri Valley Conference Championship, they really do have high expectations still, and it's really going to be on Mary Crompton and Paige Robinson to carry the load most of the way. Because, I mean, no one else really has shot the three efficiently. Their next highest score from the three is only shooting 37% from the field. That's Maya Wong on 16 attempts. So
they will have their first Valley game on December 30th. Before then, they're going to play 4 games, 2 of which are against pretty decent opponents in St. Louis, and then back to the Big Ten, this time at Purdue. They did beat Purdue last year, though. And then obviously, questionably, about the same, if not better, this year so far for this team. I think you've seen a little bit of a Juju Redmond replacement in Paige Robinson. I think Paige is better from the three, but Juju Redmond was better inside. But I think in general, they're comparable players, star players for these teams.
Yeah, and Paige definitely, she has a real talent at creating her own shot. And that was something we also saw with Juju. Juju did it a lot more. Inside the arc, Paige, she likes to play from the perimeter a little bit more, and she's so dangerous from there, so just let her keep on letting the threes fly. But Dane, you touched on it a little bit. What it's going to come down to for this team is how they play in conference, and we really haven't seen them in that regard yet. But I'm really looking forward to that first game against Drake at home. I think Drake matches up with them very well in regards to the size, and I think that they're going to be a little hotter as the season continues to go on. So I'm excited to see what that first game looks like for them, and I think it'll be a really great litmus test for what we could see
NBC tournament. I was going to say precursor, and then you hit me with the litmus test. Well, and I think we've already had the litmus test a little bit for the men's team and seeing how this season's going to go. But it not a great start on the men's side of the basketball.
I was about to ask if you guys even want to touch on the men's team, or should we just take a 5-minute break? Because there's really not much to talk about with the men's team, but we're going to have to a little bit. Winless in the Cayman Islands over the weekend before Thanksgiving, and now they have their first game back tonight at 7 at Murray State, first game of the Valley season. And just overall, not a great start for Coach Ryan Peden's Redbirds, 2-5 to start the year, not including an exhibition win. And their only wins coming against Eastern Illinois and the Northwestern State pre-beating TCU.
Hey, but that goes both ways, though, just as much as, like, the preseason tournament for the women doing well, also for the guys not doing well. It's not a huge deal. You just have to win your in-conference games, get, like, work out the problems with your offense. And you know what? It looks like this team is going to struggle offensively. They only have put up their season high of 69 points was against Northwestern State in a win. And they really don't have many options outside of Kendall Lewis that I'm very confident in. Seneca Knight hasn't really started the season off as well as we had hoped. But I think that with a new group, you always have to give them the benefit of the doubt and let them create some chemistry together.
Yeah, you go first, Blake.
I was just going to say, this team is going to start slow. I mean, we kind of saw it with ISU volleyball in the sense that LA Matters. It's, you know, it's your first season. This season is going to be a wash, essentially, for the new head coaches. I think you need to give them that time to settle in, give them time to bring their own guys along. Kendall Lewis, he's been fantastic. I think he was leading at one point the NCAA in rebounds through the first four games. Mm-hmm. I think it was something like that. It's crazy, but it's not as bad as it looks in the win to loss column. I mean, you take a look at the box scores. You lose to Western by four. You lose to Western, by three. So you only lose by three there. You lose to Northwestern State at home by three again. So we're talking about a matter of 6 points here. And just like that, you're looking at 500. You're looking at the season in a completely different regard at that point. So don't write these Birds off just yet. I think with a guy like Kendall Lewis, when you have that one star on a team that stands out like that, it's very hard to beat them as they start to get hot. And Kendall Lewis, he's definitely getting hot.
They've just been atrocious from the three-point line, though, shooting a team percentage of 32.5%. It's just not looking good early, which there is a lot to look forward to, though. I do really like the pickup of Darius Burford, and I still think that, aside from Kendall Lewis, their next three top scorers are all their transfers, Darius Burford, Seneca Knight, and Malachi Poindexter, and the recruiting class, too, cannot go unnoticed with picking up the biggest recruit that they've had in the past like 20 years, which was a three-star. I can't recall his name, but
not only that, you mean biggest as in like largest hyped, but also they got truly a nice sized big man for their inside paint presence. And as you guys said, the problem so far has been trying to create too many offensive opportunities from the three. And so if you can start finessing that inside a little bit, I know that's against kind of the model of modern basketball, but if you can start to run their offense through the inside, all of a sudden you can start to win those close games. Because if you're only losing by four, all it would have taken was two different more layups.
For real. And then this kid, too, that they've got for the big man that you were speaking about, he literally, it was like, I read up on his scouting page a little bit, and a lot of people mistake him for like an offensive lineman in football, and he's all about hoop. Like, he is just, he's legit. He could stretch the floor out a little bit, too. He's going to create good spacing for the team. So there's building blocks on this program, but I think it would be a little much to expect a lot out of this program for this season.
Absolutely. Obviously, you want to be hopeful with the season not even getting into the conference side of it yet. But as Blake said, I think it would not be too far to say this season is not at all indicative of how Coach Ryan Peden will do as the Redbirds coach going forward. I think Mueller got 10 years. I think Peden's got at least 8 to 10 years. If he can prove that he can have a couple winning seasons in the Valley, he should have 10 years to prove himself.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think Peden, especially coming from a blue chip program like Ohio State is, where their winning way is there, I think Peden, he's going to find his way to succeed in the MVC, and it's just going to be a matter of time before we see a trip or a possible trip to the NCAA tournament come March. You know, fingers crossed here in the booth that we get something like that at some point. But again,
keep crossing your fingers, Blake.
Hopefully it's
don't hold your breath.
Hopefully it's before the 30-year anniversary. That'd be 2028 would be the 30-year anniversary of going the last time the Redbirds went dancing. So hopefully we can get in there before 25 or so coming up here in the next couple of years.
I think it's also really important to acknowledge the departure of Antonio Reeves and what that means for that team. That team was built around Antonio Reeves, and it was meant to, you know, facilitate all of the things that he did well already. And when you have a departure like that and such a huge loss in the center of your program, you know, it's going to hurt, and it's not going to look great on the box score until a lot of those guys start to blossom and come along in their own regard. So I think just give it a little bit of time. Don't write off the Birds just yet.
As a bench player for Kentucky, Antonio Reeves would be the leading scorer on the Birds with 14.9 points per game.
He's still not starting over there?
No.
Sixth
That's
man.
Ridiculous. Yeah, sixth man of the year. Do they even do that in college?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Maybe when Reeves makes the NBA. Maybe the future Red Zone host will be talking about that someday.
Right.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into the Bears and the Packers. You're listening to the Red Zone. Welcome back to the Red Zone here. I'm Mikey Frinelli alongside Dane Dreyfus and Blake Borgart, talking a little bit about hashtag Packers Week. Well, that's how I look at it. Do Packers fans say hashtag Bears Week, or they just not think about it?
No, we just call it our second bye week of the year.
They just call it week 13, whatever it is. Yeah. We call it hashtag Packers Week on Twitter and such. Right, Blake? You've seen that before.
I have seen it before, and it's crazy because at this point in the season, you know, I was like, oh, the Bears will be out of playoff contention. The Packers will be – they'll run through us at Soldier Field. No, you guys are – the Packers – I say you guys. I'm talking to co-host Dane Dreyfus here. The Packers, only one win above the Bears right now, sitting at 4-8 compared to Chicago's 3-9. You guys – I'm going to keep laughing because you guys – have very little to look forward to right now.
But oh, come on. That's ridiculous. Like, I'm still, like, obviously the season didn't go as planned, but we knew with the departure of Devontae that it was going to be difficult on the offensive side of the ball, and we finally found, like, who our playmakers of the future are going to be. You're either going to sign a wide receiver in free agency or draft another one to complement Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs. Like, we have our receivers for the next 5 years. I couldn't be more stoked about that.
I mean, I really like Watson. I think his speed is special, and his route running is really something else, and something that I was kind of hoping that Ryan Poles would use the second round pick that we had instead of on Kyler Gordon. I wish they would use it on Christian Watson, to be completely
honest.
Did
they draft in front of the Packers?
Cause no, they didn't, but I wanted us to trade up, and I was hoping you guys wouldn't.
Because we traded up, and it was like the first pick of the second round was Christian Watson, I think, or is the second pick.
But, I mean, rightly so. He's got all the speed and all the talent in the world, and it's going to be really interesting to see how a guy like Jalen Johnson, if he's healthy enough to play come Sunday, is going to match up with the speed of Christian Watson, because that's going to be a matchup that we're probably seeing, let's be realistic here, for the next 10 years or so.
If the signings work out that way. But I really do think this is going to be a good game. Like, I'm excited. I love the over in this one. I think it's going to be fun to watch for both teams. It's a throwaway game. The winner of this game is the loser, because you're gonna move in the draft spot. So, like, honestly, I would love to see the Packers fall in this one, especially if Rodgers is starting. Now, if Jordan Love's playing, I do want to see the Packers win.
Why do you want to see them lose if Aaron Rodgers is playing?
I just don't care as much at that point, because I think Rodgers has reportedly been pretty open to being shut down for the year. Like, he's not opposed to it. I think a mutual parting is coming. Now, if the Packers can get any assets with that deal that they gave to Aaron, it'll be very interesting to see. I think it could be as low as like a fifth round pick to a desperate franchise. I would give him away for free if we really do believe in Jordan Love being the guy, or we can give the Colts a call and they can do the thing they do every offseason and trade a first round pick for a way too old
veteran quarterback.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers has definitely got nothing on, or he's got everything on Matt Ryan, but I'd see the comparison. But I don't think the Packers are going to quite give up on Aaron Rodgers yet. I think if they were gonna, they would have one of the last 2 years.
Well, the last 2 years he was making the throws, and this
year Devontae.
And Devontae does cover up a lot of problems, but also it works both ways, because Derek Carr was not making some of the throws to Devontae that Aaron could make. And both these stars, I don't want to say Devontae struggled without Aaron, because Devontae's still been Devontae. Like, he is so good. Like, there's
no. It's fair to say that Rodgers is better than Derek Carr. I hate to play devil's advocate for Aaron Rodgers, but, like, yeah, I think, like you said, it works two ways. They made each other better.
For sure. And then, I think Aaron is, I don't think he's washed, but I still think he's, like, if you look at his stats aren't bad for a QB that's 4-8.
No.
But I honestly think it would make a lot of sense to send him to a team like the Colts, a team like the Jets, the Jets might be in win-now mode next season. Like, they have a really, really good defense, good young pieces on offense. Like, the Jets would be legit with Aaron at QB.
I always thought that the Broncos would be the top target for Aaron Rodgers, but they committed to somebody else with Russell Wilson. And I think going forward with that team, the Broncos, I think they're stuck with Russell for a while. And I think any chance of bringing Aaron Rodgers in, that ship has sailed. So one of those teams that Dane mentioned, probably out of the NFC, going back to going to the AFC, would be Rodgers' place if he gets traded. But I don't think the Packers are ready to do that yet, in my opinion.
I think the Broncos are going to turn into the new Bears. Because if you've looked at their quarterback history since Peyton Manning, woof. How much money and how much draft capital you've used at the signal caller position is way more embarrassing than the Bears never having a 4,000-yard pass.
Broncos country.
Yeah, I said it.
I just think I wanted to go back for just a quick second. I think it's funny because this is probably the only time me and Dane will ever agree on this week, that I want the Bears to beat the Packers, and Dane also wants the Bears to beat the Packers. So what a crazy world we live in right now.
I just really want Jaxon Smith-Njigba. He is so good. I know he's hurt right now, but it's crazy how these wide receiver draft classes, ever since the Jay Jettas draft, and he was like the fifth receiver taken in the first round, have just been incredible. And honestly, I have a hot take too, that not this draft year, but the following year, I think the first overall pick should be Marvin Harrison Jr. I think he's that good.
Well, I guess it depends on who gets that first overall pick. If it's the Texans, if it's the Bears, if it's a third team that sneaks in there. I'm rooting hard again for the Texans the next couple weeks to get some wins so the Bears can sneak in there for the number one overall pick.
See, but I think you shouldn't, because I don't know, the Bears, like, they could take Will Anderson, which is a franchise altering defensive end, in my opinion. Like, mm-hmm. He's legit, rush the QB. You get your replacement for Khalil Mack that you gave away for pennies on the dollar, but it made sense for the contract. Like, Ryan Poles is really good. Like, I'm a Pulse fan. I think he's done right by the Bears.
Well, he's doing the right thing. He needs to collect picks so he can have his true first year next year.
Yeah.
After he has his true first draft with all of the picks he's garnered using Pace's assets.
I really want to see a full season of Claypool, too. Because they have not utilized him like I thought they would.
Friend of the pod, Tom Fernelli, made a funny joke on Twitter during the last game, and he said, after the first drive that Simeon did really well, he was like, yes, sir, Trevor Siemian could be yours for just a first-round pick. And I mean, that's been – obviously, they're not going to trade Trevor Siemian for a first-round pick, but that really has been the Poles' mentality. He's like, come watch the Bears do well for the first half of the season with all of Pace's players, and then you two can get your own for just a first-round pick. So, I mean, or at least a draft pick.
Their stats a little bit, but then Claypool, too. Though those catches that Claypool made, he mossed Sauce Gardner.
Yep.
Like, that was his welcome to the NFL moment. Mm-hmm. And, like, as a Packer fan, it's definitely worrisome, but I'm really excited for this NFC North next year. Like, I think it's going to be really competitive. And I think you could sneakily have Lamar in the division, too, for Detroit, depending on how things play out with the draft.
Well, what's funny is the Bears actually had a Lamar Jackson on the roster to start the season at cornerback. He's actually going to be playing against Lamar this weekend in Denver. He just got recently released by the Bears. But, I mean, this matchup, there are no playoff implications at this point. So it's really a null point, and it's just going to be about who loses and who ends up being the one to get the higher draft pick. And for the Bears, I think this offseason is going to be a one that completely alters the franchise for the next decade or
like,
so.
The Bears already won, because even if the Packers win and go 2-0 against the Bears, it's just you're sitting there and you're like that's such a Bears fan mentality to have your big game be the Packers-Bears game. Like, whoever wins that, that's your championship game of the season, if you catch my drift.
I do catch your drift, and I agree with you 100% on that. But I kind of wanted to look towards back towards like Will Anderson is what you were talking about, mm-hmm. and how like he's one of those defensive prospects who completely alters your franchise. I love Jalen Carter out of Georgia so much. He is all the pro comps I see
like
for him is Aaron Pause. Donald for him, and you watch him on tape, and he's very similar in his play style in the sense that he's a little undersized.
Do you want to pull a Jaguars and pass upon Aiden Hutchinson to take Trayvon Walker? And I know it's early for Trayvon Walker, but Aiden Hutchinson has fit the bill this season.
I mean, he's looked good, but his stats have become very inflated due to some coverage sacks downfield. I mean, he had one 3-sack game where they were all, I think it was against Geno Smith and the Seahawks, where Geno just had to, well, he was forced to hold on to the ball for way too long because there was nobody open downfield, and Aiden was just literally able to walk into a sack. So his stats are a little bit inflated, and I think that
Let me hit you with a couple quotes. Uh-huh. Got to be good to be lucky, got to be lucky to be good. And luck is where hard work meets preparation.
Or you got to have Jeff Okuda in the secondary locking up Tyler Lockett on a deep post route.
See, and people were selling on Okuda last year, and they were like, this guy stinks. And, oh, brother. Like, now all of a sudden, the narrative on corners this year has just flipped. Like, and as a Packer fan, Jair, he's been cooked a couple times this year, especially by Jettas. But, like, arguably the best corner this year has probably been Sauce Gardner. Like, there's a debate
there.
The Bears
exposed him. They did. They
single-handedly.
Yeah, the two receptions for 51 yards really showed this rookie what's what.
The Bears, last week, the Bears game, I mean, I didn't even watch the second half. I'll be completely honest. It just got so out of hand so fast. I don't know what I expected when they didn't even have a quarterback decided during the Jets' first drive of the game. Like, the fact that they were still deciding the starter when the Jets were actively playing and the Bears' defense was on the field was all
we
I needed
to know.
Robbed
of a Nathan Peterman
start. Yeah, I thought it was going to get be a Peterman day.
Dude, what is an oblique? I have never heard
it's
of
it. Like it's like on your side.
It's
never
like a big
heard
baseball
it.
Injury.
Yeah.
I hurt my oblique waking up every morning. Like, I'll be like, the 14 years of organized sports will really do things to your body.
It's like a side muscle thing. I don't know.
Man, that's crazy. I saw that and I was like, man, Matt Eberflus wants Jalen Carter, Will Anderson on this team so badly. We are about to get Nathan Peterman or David Montgomery quarterbacking the Chicago Bears against the New York Jets.
So I think Montgomery would throw less picks. Is that a hot
take? Fields
take?
Plays one game, one more game the rest of the year. I want it to be Sunday, though. Just to see the last bit of Fields and then shut him down like Mooney and Eddie Jackson.
Agreed.
Because the rest of the Bears' remaining schedule, we're just going to get rolled. There's no point, and you know that Fields is good. Eagles, Bills, Lions, Vikings.
Yeah, I mean, those are all...
the Lions will be questionable, but...
No, the Lions are going to roll. If Fields isn't playing, the Lions will roll the Bears.
But the Lions at that point won't be playing for anything either, probably.
Don't say that.
Do you think they will contend for an NFC wildcard spot in 3 weeks?
the NFC is bad enough to where I could see it. If they win, they're important. Like, everything would have to go perfect.
They've had home right now punching the air.
They've had a few. They've had a few fun weeks the last couple weeks, but I think
you
it's too little.
You can't tell me they didn't look really, really good against the Bills.
It's too little, too late. I mean, yeah, they lost too many close games early.
The Bills.
Yeah, it was too little, too late going forward for the rest of the season.
That's what you just sounded like.
Did the listeners even just hear Blake's quote when he whispered in the mic? Tell us what you said about the Bills.
I just said everyone looks good against the Bills. The Bills are notorious for playing down to their competition every single week now.
Are they the clay team that like they mold to like they can either play up to a level or play their last year's Bengals, because the Bengals would play up to teams or they would play down to
or Redbird baseball.
I was gonna say they're the 11-0 Steelers of 2 or 3 years ago, where they were 11-0 and everyone knew that they were frauds, and then they finished out the season.
No, that's the Eagles.
The Vikings. The NFC is just a bunch of frauds. The only person I believe is
this
Dan
pick
Campbell.
Six is gonna get ugly, guys. This is gonna be an ugly.
Well, it's
pick
a good
six.
One this week, because
don't forget that the 5 and 6 Bucks still lead their division, and we'll have a home playoff game against the Giants or Seahawks, and we'll be able to roll their way through the NFC in the playoffs. Don't forget
Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr.
Don't forget it.
That's just gross, dude. Like, don't forget the NFC is so bad.
Yeah, exactly, but don't forget it. Don't forget that the Bucks will host a playoff game with a losing record at this point.
You don't want to play him, though. You don't want to play Taylor Heinicke again. You don't want to give him a second shot against the Bucks in the playoffs.
Man, yeah, exactly. I was just going to say, he almost beat the Bucks in his first ever NFL start.
He's kind of got that dog in him. Like, I'm not going to lie.
Not to get off of analytics, but he does have that dog in him,
yeah,
for sure.
I just got his x-rays back in.
Well, I guess all those players that, I guess by that, by these dog logic stats, you could see that in Geno Smith too. That'd be the other person you'd have to play.
Yes, dude, Geno Smith. Smith is legit, man. He was like one of my. He was one of the players that I actually fell in love with, like football, with watching him at UVA.
West Virginia.
Yeah.
Was it West Virginia?
West Virginia. Yeah. My bad. Watching him and Tavon Austin. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
No, that but dude, one of my best articles I read this year was about the rhetoric and the narrative of black QBs being written off and all these white quarterbacks getting a second chance. And it was a really good piece. It was kind of nuts to see that Geno Smith had to wait like 6-7 years before he got another opportunity after playing on Adam Gase coaching the Jets at the time?
I think it was Rex Ryan still.
Oh, so much better.
Yeah, no, I'm not defending that at all. And it's crazy because like you see a quarterback like Sam Darnold get endless opportunities in the NFL, and then Geno, he gets his two shots and he's done.
And he's awesome.
Yeah, he's great.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Audra Goff is going to join the show. We're going to have a little bit of a recap of Red Bird Volleyball. You're listening to The Red Zone. Welcome back to The Red Zone. I'm Mikey Frenelli alongside Dane Dreyfus and Blake Borgar. And now WZND's Audra Goff joining the show, a member of the ISU Club Volleyball team. Am I correct in saying that one?
Yes, you are.
So you're going to join us to talk a little bit about Red Bird Volleyball on this season. Obviously, the season's over now for a week or two, but disappointing to say the very least in Allie Matters' first season as the Redbirds Volleyball's head coach. You want to go ahead and just give us your brief statement here on what you think going into the season?
Yeah, I was definitely expecting them to do a lot better than what they did with the 12-17 overall record, 5-13 in conference. Their last game against Bradley, I was actually color commentating with Blake over here, and it was my first time doing it. Yeah, sorry. But they ended up losing to Bradley 1-3. Weimer Skirch had a match high of 15 digs. Hilliard and Kushner both showed up to play, but they couldn't get the win.
And I remember Hannah Reichensberger did really well in that match. I was there for that one as well. And I think it was just in total just a season that was really kind of a wash when it came to success for those seniors that had seen so much of that in the last four seasons. But also, there was some bright spots of a lot of players in Emily Weber and Hannah Reichensberger and Ida Schadewald who did really well for Allie Matters' first season as head coach and do show the future is bright going forward.
Yeah, definitely. A stat that I found was that the freshmen had 448 out of the 595 kills, over 75% of the 12 matches in their season.
Wow, it's a lot of stats.
Yeah, their freshman class definitely took over because in the beginning of the season, if I remember right, Sarah Kushner definitely was the one to watch, but she did get hurt mid-season, had to sit out 5 matches, so Ada Schadewald had to step up, and she ended up with 303 kills under her name for the 2022 season.
Now, Audra, as a volleyball player yourself, your eye test is definitely much more educated than ours. Like, is there anything that you really saw that was really special about any of these younger players that you're like, wow, like that's gonna be a force to be reckoned with in the future?
Definitely. Ada Schadewald, obviously, she stepped up when the role was there to fill, and I I was shocked to see that because as a freshman, it's definitely nerve-wracking to step into your first D1 match, but she showed up, and the middles, Hannah Reichensperger and Reagan Haith, definitely kicked it into gear a little too late, I would say, definitely. But, yeah, I think that Emily Weber, their younger talent, definitely stepped up and did as much as they could.
So is that something like a vote of confidence for these players to see them play in so many games in their freshman year? Is that something that's going to help them in their going into their sophomore year? Or is there such thing as a sophomore slump, you think, for collegiate volleyball?
I think it's only up from here. I don't think they're going to be in a sophomore slump.
So you think it does help them on their confidence side of it, that next year they know that's their job and there's no one mm-hmm. ahead of them, even though they kind of stumbled into the job this year with mm-hmm. some early retirements, with a couple yeah. of big injuries, and next year they know from camp that this is their job and it's theirs to have. So I think that will be confidence for them, and I think that's part of what LA Matters did this year. It's a win that you cannot see on the
right.
court.
They definitely have to switch things up, though, when they enter their next season, because with them being in the spotlight for so long, they definitely got to – a lot of the other teams definitely got to see what they're capable of, so they've got to switch things up for next year.
I think, not to mention, they're going to switch things up, but I think that these freshmen are also going to grow quite mm-hmm. a bit over the offseason, and they're going to mature, like, hey, now this is what a Division I volleyball game looks like against mm-hmm. all these upperclassmen. Now we're on the up-and-coming. And I think it was great to see Ada Shadowald and Reagan Haight get recognized as on the Valley all-freshman team, mm-hmm. is what they were named to. ISU was the only school that was named that had multiple freshmen on that list, and the last time that happened was back in 2015 when ISU had Allie Line, Courtney Pence, and, like, Varga, all named to the freshman team. And that was, of course, back when Leah Johnson and was building this program up from just bare bones and getting them to those NCAA appearances. So I think that it's going to be a long journey to seeing this program back to where it was just a year ago. But I think that it's just like with Ryan Peden and the men's basketball team, I think that it's something that we'll see in the very near future.
I'm really interested to see who their setter is going to be next year. Especially with the loss of key seniors like Sarah Kushner and Katie Weimerskirch. I think Nora Yanka is going to have to be a real big veteran presence on this team because she was a junior. She's going to be a senior. And then also, like Audra said, like they've got some really good young players. They've got Hannah Reichensperger, who was really impressive. And I think Reagan Haith is someone that is going to be a really...
Stepping up.
Yeah, she's going to be really important to the team.
I would think... Caitlin Loeffler during the Bradley game, she eclipsed 1,000 career assists, so I think she's got a good chance at being the starting setter, like you were wondering. But Emily Weber ended her season with 495 assists as well.
Emily Weber has one of probably my favorite plays that the volleyball team does. She does like this backward set over the net mm-hmm. and always finds the open court to get a point for the Birds.
Right.
So it's something that's very deceptive and something that I'd love to see more of her doing. Mm-hmm.
So the Valley representative this year for the actual NCAA volleyball tournament is going to be Northern Iowa. They won the Missouri Valley Conference tournament. Mm-hmm. They'll face No. 7 Florida State tomorrow at 4:30 in Minnesota. That's where their first round bubble is. And I think it just goes again with what happened to ISU the last couple of years. No matter what, the Valley will be faced against a Power 5 school that will usually see it as an easy win.
Mm-hmm. I called the Northern Iowa game this year. Actually got smoked by a ball right in the face. So
didn't return it?
I didn't. It was during warm-ups, but there was also a couple heads up. I made a couple cool catches, too. I forget who I was calling. I think I was with, was that either
no
Timmy Z or Berger? I think it was
probably Timmy Z. Timmy Z called like every volleyball game this year.
I think it was Timmy beginning. Z.
So we're not using the slang. It's Tim Zalabak to give him the shameless plug.
They should know.
They know at this point. Yeah.
But you and I, they had a couple siblings on the team too that were that transferred from a big 12 program in Texas. They were digging every ball out. Like I think, who'd you say they're playing?
Florida State.
I think they can give Florida State a run for their money.
It's definitely not as difficult as a matchup as ISU's seen in the past with Wisconsin and Purdue.
Purdue, yeah.
I think the easiest year was either UNLV. I think it was UNLV.
Yeah.
The year before last. And they did get a set on them, but they did not get a set on Purdue at all.
Well, ISU actually got a set on Florida State earlier this year too, and I think with a team like Northern Iowa, like they're legit team.
That really is a legit squad. They've got great size in their front court too.
It's no knock on Florida State at all, but I genuinely believe that Northern Iowa is going to give them a run.
If I was a betting man, Which you are.
You notoriously are. I think that Florida State, I don't think Florida State should be writing this team off at all, because it is a very well put together team out there that they have.
That was the sound of me and Blake running to FanDuel. To hammer. The valley runs deep.
If I was betting on it, which I'm not, but if I was, I would still say Florida State. I think the easiest thing I saw watching ISU versus Purdue last year in person was that it just gets so different. Mm-hmm. When you get to just the Big Ten level or Big 12, anything you want. I mean, it's at the Power 5 level, volleyball is just so different. And I'm sure Audra's seen it too. It's just, it's not the rallies. It's not the valley rallies, whatever they call it. It's just at the net, block after block after block. You literally can't get through it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've seen that same competition. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah. I would say not as intense as the Big Ten, obviously. But I did play at my community college, and it's definitely...
completely different.
It's definitely completely different from high school, so...
Now, Audra, playing club volleyball, what are some of the other programs like UC too, like that you guys play up against?
We actually have a tournament this weekend. Shameless plug again, but it's in home? No, it's in Ball State. So we play teams like Purdue, and then we play
it's Muncie, Indiana, I think.
Yeah, I think so. But
shameless plug.
We play Ball State, Indiana University. Yeah.
Do you have a tournament at all coming up at ISU before the end of the year or no?
It was a few weeks ago.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to
so
give
we missed it.
I was going to give it a plug.
You're a great
sports
director, Mikey.
Well, I was going to give it a plug, but you know, instead I just get roasted on air. But before we end the segment, Audra, going forward, what do you think the goal should be for Allie Matters' Illinois State Volleyball team next year? Is it tournament or bust again, or do you just want to see a little bit of improvement?
I would say, I don't know. I'd like to see both, obviously. Improvement and tournament, obviously, is definitely the goal. But I think that during the off season that she should just, now that they've seen what their competition is like, I think that they should adapt to what they've seen and definitely strengthen their freshmen, because they already know that they have to step up and play a better season. So
I would argue the next step is always 500. If you are a below 500 team and like a well below 500 team in conference, like you have to get to 500 in conference is
and
the
I,
next step.
I think definitely blocking is another thing. I saw a stat about I think Reagan Haith had 102 out of the 197 blocks that they had in their whole season. So definitely blocking's a not a strong suit for ISU, but she's stepping up, so I think that it's going to be exciting to see her next year.
One thing I'll say is that a lot of the times, some of the intangible stuff doesn't show up on the in the stat sheet, in the stats columns. And just watching and being in person and seeing how Coach Matters interacts with her players on the floor, you can really tell that she is bought into this program. And from her own passion and the way that she interacts with her players, you can tell that these players are buying into this program little by little. And I think that that's something that is going to definitely grow in the offseason, and it's going to show on the court come year two for her.
And the biggest replacement they're going to need to make is Katie Weimerschurch, obviously.
Right.
You haven't had to think about a different libero for 3 years.
Right.
Starting, at least. And a former libero of the year in the Missouri Valley Conference 2 years ago. It's going to be interesting to see who is going to get that job. If it's going to be somebody totally new they bring in, if it's going to be somebody that we've already seen, maybe switching positions. Am I wrong in saying that? Like, does somebody usually switch into that position, or is it somebody that's grown through that program?
She could definitely just find somebody new, but I would hope that they would already have kind of a backup libero on the bench. But
would that be the defensive specialist or no?
You could.
For the most part, because that's what libero ultimately is, right? Or isn't it just like the captain of the defense on that side?
Obviously the libero is the one in the different colored jersey, so they interchange. But the defensive specialist is specific to the. I don't know. I think that either or, depending on which player decides to step up and fill that role, which is a big role.
I'm interested to see what her recruiting class looks like.
I was just about to say that's really the next. Before we can even get into. Like the record of next year, we have to see the roster turnover.
Right.
We have to see who she brings into the
program. I mean, you already saw her have some big recruits before she even had an offseason to do it with Addie Shadowald, because Shadowald uncommitted from Wright State and came to Illinois State after hearing Matters was going to sign with Illinois State without even seeing Bloomington Normal before she even came here. So she has that much faith
in
Allie.
And she lucked into the most beautiful college campus on the planet.
Yeah, she did.
And I mean, we have all kinds of food to offer, because it was funny because every time we interviewed a Redbird volleyball player this season, they all talked about how their favorite thing is all the different, specifically sushi restaurants in Bloomington Normal. So that was, I guess, what they did as a team. I wonder if that tradition will carry on here. I didn't think we were known to have a lot of different cool sushi restaurants.
Yeah, Midwest Sushi.
Yeah.
This Bloomington Normal, it's the most restaurants per capita in the entire United States. So, like, this is one of the most diverse and culturally rich places when it comes to eating. I know we're talking about sports right now, but I could go on a tangent about this.
It's
always great.
Shameless plug, Blake is our news director here at WZN, in addition to being a great sports voice. So he would know these little quick facts for us. And that's an interesting one. I didn't even know that. I guess because it's a college town.
Well, that, I feel like I knew that coming to the university that it was number one.
I didn't know the stats. I knew they had a lot of the food options.
LeBron right now. I knew Kobe was going to drop 80. but another another fact that is also just well known is that, like, Watterson Towers is the tallest point in between Chicago and St. Louis. Like, these are the things, like, when the university's being sucked.
Somebody went on a tour before they were a freshman. And
I did not.
How did you even know that then? You just knew it?
I did a lot of laundry, and it was, like, written.
Up in Watterson?
Yeah.
How did we get on this topic? Every segment today has somehow morphed into something else from what was at the start.
Geno Smith, man.
We got to Geno Smith, we got to Watterson Towers, and now we're going to get to a quick break.
How does this affect LeBron's legacy?
It doesn't. We're going to get to a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into pick six. You're listening to The Red Zone. It's The Red Zone, and it's pick six now, where we make our picks for four of this weekend's NFL games coming up. And I don't have the standings in front of me, but Steve has taken the lead in the last 2 weeks after we totaled it. Steve has taken the lead, and David is down to second, and Dane is inching closer to the cellar with me. I'm still below 500, but only by like three games, I think, and Dane is like just two or three games above 500. And then Guest is kind of caught in the middle. But Guest has done really well the last couple weeks. I think the Guest is the hottest team in the last 2 weeks.
It's a lot of pressure.
I bought into Frauds Giving hard, and it was really close. Like, both games could have went the other way.
Over like the 2 weeks, like the Guest went like 10-2 or something like that. And it was because of Alex Berger did really, really well. And then your dad, David's dad, and my sister. My sister went 2-0, just picking the teams based just like whatever she wanted.
That's
where I'm about.
I think my dad went 2-0 too. Yeah, he said Bills, and but you know what? I think the Guest should lose two wins for my dad's phone going off twice during the pick six.
Yeah, whoever out there watched our YouTube Thanksgiving special already, thank you for that. Maybe we'll do something similar during Christmas break. We'll see. We'll try and do something. We're gonna have a new Red Zone host at the end of Christmas break, obviously, with Dane leaving us at the end of the semester for graduation. Dane, this is like the second to last show. Are you sad?
A mental breakdown is coming. It's not here yet. I am pretty sad because this has probably been the highlight of my semester, is just spending time with you guys and David. I know David's listening too, but he's been just an absolute treasure to have a podcast with. But let's live it up while we still got it. Let's start this pick six.
We'll get
off
sad
right
next week, but let's talk first about how about the Packers and the Bears, just so we can still be a little bit sad because neither of us have any faith in our teams.
Yeah.
First, we're going to talk about the Packers and the Bears. I'm going to start the day I picked the Bears, or the day I picked the Packers against the Bears. I'm off the show. I'm going to always pick the Bears in this situation with no logic whatsoever. I'm going to always pick the Bears. I want the Bears to lose, but I'm going to pick the Bears. I don't care if it's Fields or Peterman or Simeon. Bears, 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 Bears.
Give me Bears or give me death. Now, that's what Fernelli is thinking. All right. That is I'm going to go Packers over the Bears
because
I think it's an easy pick.
I wouldn't expect anything.
It's just as easy as taking USA over the Netherlands. That's all I got to say.
Second pick I like. Blake?
Well, our absentee host tonight, I am filling in his place, so I will read off his picks. May I not agree with them? That's a completely different story, but
shout out David.
David has the Bears for the win this week.
That's another one that I get to catch up on David. Okay.
So
cool.
Steve went with the Packers, always a Bears hater. Audra Goff.
The Bears.
The Bears. And what's the logic there?
Justin Fields.
Justin Fields.
That's a based take.
I am choosing my pick six based off of who has the best logo this week.
Ooh.
So
and the Bears
go
have
the
a much
Bears
better logo
just
than
the Packers.
Practice jerseys.
Practice
it's
jerseys.
The Bears,
Green
so
Bay practice jerseys. Moving on to the Dolphins and the 49ers. This one is in San Francisco, but that is not affecting my pick. You guys know I've always been a hater on the 49ers. I'll rarely ever pick them. And this week, I'm going with the Dolphins.
The Fins, that's it. This one I was definitely conflicted on. I love the over in this one. I think this one's going to be like a 60-point game. It might be game of the year. Nope. After that Bills-Vikings game, this game might be better. Give me the Niners at home, though.
Blake?
David has the Niners for his pick, and I'm going to tend to agree with him. That defense is something that Mike McDaniel has not seen up to this point, and the addition of Christian McCaffrey against that porous Dolphins defense, I think he's going to run rampant.
Ooh, was that a pun?
It might have been.
I think that might have been fun.
Man, I really wish we had a dolphin audio clip.
A fins up audio clip.
Well, is it dolphin a purpose?
No, like a wait, can you do a dolphin sound effect?
No.
Oh, I got excited.
That was pretty good.
Audra, what do you think in this one?
I'm gonna have to go with the dolphins.
Let's go.
You don't like the SF logo?
Well, if dolphin SF. Dolphins.
Yeah, a dolphin, an actual dolphin in the logo, I tend to agree, is a lot cooler. And Steve went with the dolphins.
The dolphin wearing the football helmet would have been a duck.
Yeah, like in the 70s,
the,
yeah.
The retro one.
Well, that's when they went undefeated, too. So no wonder. When they had the better logo, they were a better team.
With the discovery of like CTE, you would have hoped they would have let the dolphin keep the helmet, but
maybe no, add a face mask on.
Yeah,
it worked backwards. The dolphin doesn't wear a helmet anymore. I said delmet. All right, Chiefs and Bengals. What do we think in this one? Blake, you start us off.
David has the Chiefs down, and I'm gonna agree with him on this one. That was probably the game of the year last year between the Chiefs and the Bengals. That was ridiculous to see Jamar Chase like that, but Chase is coming off of a week where he was injured, as well as Joe Mixon. The Chiefs' defense has improved drastically since last season, so Chiefs for the victory.
I tend to agree with that. I think I'm going to go with the Chiefs as well. I kind of thought about the Bengals in this one, but I think the Chiefs have kind of finally figured out and are quietly a 9-win team right now. I don't know how you can quietly be a 9-win team. Maybe it's because that team has won a championship recently, so people just they expect it. But I think that team is my favorite to win the AFC at this point, so I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
This game sucks because it's the last team to score is going to be the team to win the game, 100%. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm crazy in saying that. Love the over in this one, too. It's a great slate this week. I'm going to go to the Bengals because they're 7-2 in their last 9. They're a really good-looking team. Their defense shut down a pretty good offense in the Titans with Derrick Henry. It's not a great offense. They shut down the run. And I don't know. Blake is not happy with me saying that. The Titans, I think, have a pretty good offense.
We got a second.
I mean, Ryan Tannehill is so washed, it's not even funny. I mean, they could have put Malik Willis, they could have put Derrick Henry out there at quarterback for a full 60-minute game. He would have put up more than 16 points on the Bengals. It's that simple.
Ryan Tannehill made some throws last week.
Man, Ryan Tannehill should be playing receiver, if anything.
He did at Texas A&M.
Him and Kyle Phillips are essentially the same person.
Who's Kyle Phillips?
He's a slot receiver on the Tennessee Titans, and that just shows me that I know more about the Tennessee Titans than you, Dane.
Dude, Kyle Phillips isn't even starting for them.
He's a rookie. He's on the bench, and that's where Ryan Tannehill should be, too.
What, you think Malik Willis should be starting?
I just said Derrick Henry at quarterback. Play 10 men on the field. We don't even need the full 11.
Not every game.
No, not every game.
I was with you until then.
I'm being partially sarcastic and facetious. I just don't really think Ryan Tannehill has
that was
anymore.
A gutty win against a really good Titans team. And the Titans played both the Chiefs and Bengals pretty identically, honestly.
It's a really good Titans defense.
It's really good. It's Rabel. So
Steve Cease went with the Bengals on this one, and Audra Goff is going to go with
the Bengals also.
Ooh. And is that still logos or is that
Still logos. I like the orange and the zebra print on the beard.
The zebra print.
Wait, does that leave Blake on the Lonely Island?
Am I alone?
No, I took the Chiefs as well.
Okay. Oh, nice. Thank you, Mikey.
It's a duo island.
I don't like that, actually. I don't like that. Maybe I should switch. I can't switch now.
All right, yeah, you can't switch now. It's written on my paper.
I made a fantasy football pick, too. I have Joe Burrow in fantasy, so I'm hoping.
Dan, you know how every week I write it on paper, like our pick, so I don't have to re-listen to the show? I didn't write it on paper for the Thanksgiving show because I was focusing on moving my little slides on paper. So I had to go back and watch the whole thing. And it was actually kind of fun to watch the whole thing again and write them all down.
I did, too. I did it while I was working at the Chris Kindle Market. Another shameless plug.
There's been too many of those this show. Let's go with the Colts and the Cowboys going forward for this one. I'm going to go with Dallas in this one. I think the whole Jeff Saturday thing was fun while it lasted one game, and now it's just kind of overstated its welcome. I think the Cowboys are the team to win that division, I would say, in the NFC East, unless I'm kind of rooting for the Commanders, but I think the Cowboys, it's their division to lose at this point, so they got to win these games. What do you think?
Do you think it's their division to lose? Like, do you think they're going to beat the Eagles?
Oh, shoot. I'm so sorry. I totally meant the Eagles.
No, it's too late. You just took the Cowboys to win the division.
No, I didn't say the Cowboys.
So when the Cowboys and Eagles play later this year, you have to take the Cowboys.
No, it'll be the Eagles.
It's
like
official.
I talked about it earlier.
It's official.
All right, fine. I'll take them in that game only. Okay. Fine. I'll take them in that game only.
I'm taking the Cowboys in this one. It's easy.
David Moses has the Dallas Cowboys against the Indianapolis Colts.
Wait a minute.
What's a cool logo? Audra?
Who's got rid of the Colts and Cowboys?
The Cowboys.
That is a sweep for the Cowboys.
That's a bad take.
You'd rather have the horseshoe than the star.
A star, yeah.
No, stars mean victory in my brain. Stars mean
the
good.
Cowboys jerseys with the stars on the sleeve for Thanksgiving. Those were cool. Yeah. Those are really
it's
cool.
It's so basic. like a horseshoe, like it's cool. And if we're going like retro logos, the Cowboys have the same logo, and the Colts have like the bucking bronco looking thing.
Yeah,
really
cool. Mm-hmm.
I got so exposed for the NFC East, I completely forgot about the Eagles for a split second.
The NFC Beast.
They're just such a forgettable team this season because they are really good, but they're going to lose so early on in the playoffs, well, in my opinion.
They've had a muffin man of a schedule.
Right, exactly. Like they have that schedule because they've been so bad in that bad division for years that they have this schedule that is just easy to run through, and then as soon as they get a chance to in the playoffs against an actual division winner.
I mean, their defense got exposed by half of Aaron Rodgers and a rookie wide receiver.
Yeah. So I think that Eagles team will win that division, but you might see a wild card team out of that division.
They're low key kind of banged up right now too.
Who, the Eagles?
Yeah, with Jordan Davis and Gardner Johnson going down with an injury too, and yeah, they had to put Blankenship, not Rodrigo, in at safety.
Not Hot Rod?
Not Hot Rod.
I thought maybe he found his way back into a defense through the NFL.
That would be unreal.
Is he? He's still not on a roster, is he?
Unfortunately, no.
Oh, somebody's got to take a chance on him. He was really good for a while, but then he got dropped by the Colts.
He was on the Cardinals. He made a little resurgence with them, but he's back as a free
agent. Dude, he was like a top five kicker like 3 years ago. Like
he was not this year.
Fantasy stud too.
An extra point to save his life.
Saints, Bucks, Brady against the Saints. It's been a matchup for years, for decades even, and the Saints have always kind of had his number for the most part, except in Breeze's last game.
Well, you're going to be very happy with David Moses, Mikey, yes, because I know how you feel about Thomas Patrick Edward Brady,
you
Jr.
You flipped the middle names?
I did. Oh, well, that's my bad. Anyways, Buccaneers for the win over the Saints on primetime.
Dane?
I'm going to go with the cooler logo here, too. I'm going to go Bucks, just because, like...
Let's go.
It's bad, dude. That game is going to... That might be worse than the Bears and the Jets from last week.
That one's going to be interesting for sure. Audrey, what do you think?
Dane took the words out of my mouth. I'm going with the Bucks as well.
Yeah, that one actually has playoff implications, which is mind-blowing.
That's a big logo matchup, actually. Those are both two decent logos. I'd say the Bucks and the Saints.
Yeah.
The Saints have that cool, like, I don't even know what you call it, but it's cool.
And the Saints have their jerseys figured out, where the Buccaneers have played around a little bit. I think they figured them out, like, going with the I don't even want to say retro. Like, the creamsicle jerseys are great.
Mm-hmm, those are cool. And then the old-timey helmet with, like, the actual pirate with, like, the sword. Those are cool. I'm going to go with the Bucks as well, obviously. And then Steve is also going to go with the Bucks. So that's our second sweep of the day.
Ooh, now I'm...
No, well, you can't change it now, but that means the scoreboard doesn't change.
I know, but I want a Lonely Island.
Well, maybe you'll have your chance. Except, I think, I already know what some of us picked for tonight's game. Myself, David, and Steve, and we all had the same pick for the Bills and Patriots. And I think Blake has a different pick than us. So, Blake, you want to start us off?
Well, David Moses here, he has the Buffalo Bills down for the winners on Thursday Night Football.
No one circles the wagons.
Me personally, the last time that Bill Belichick saw a mobile quarterback on primetime was Justin Fields in that 33-10 victory over New England. So I can agree with David Moses in that regard. So we'll go with the Buffalo Bills for the win tonight over the Patriots.
You like the Patriots.
I like the Patriots a lot.
Yeah, you were talking about the Patriots before we talked.
Change the pick a little bit. Why don't you?
No, I'm not going to do that to David. I'm not going to do that.
A little pickety-sixity. Come on.
Andy P did it to me a couple weeks ago. When I gave Andy P my picks, he picked all the ones I didn't
take his pick to the house. Come on.
I can't do it to David, man. I respect him too much as my all-time color commentator. I'm not going to do that to him. I already did it once this year, and I was terrible for him. I definitely messed up.
Oh, you like made all the picks for him?
Yeah, I did. I definitely did. So we're just going to give him this week. I think it was a 3-for-3, so it wasn't great, but you know, he had some really great picks that I just kind of flubbed.
Right, Dane, what do you think?
No one circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Put her down.
I'm gonna go with the Bills as well in this one. I like what Blake's saying about how the Patriots may be able to find a way in Foxborough, but I think this one should be the Bills. We did talk about earlier how they play to their competition though, so it should be a close game. And I saw the line was 3.5, so that is tricky.
I got a big Gabe Davis game coming.
Audra?
The Bills also.
Whoa.
So that's another sweep because Steve went with the Bills.
I'm gonna read into that, and I think Audra's rooting for the Netherlands. Because she doesn't like the Patriots logo better than the Bills logo. There probably is Buffaloes or Bison in the Netherlands. Therefore, Audra is rooting for Netherlands.
That was the craziest conspiracy theory I have ever heard.
I don't think it's a conspiracy
show.
I think it's...
Audra, do you want to take any time with the last 30 seconds to tell us if that's true or not?
Who do you like? Wait, a little extra pick six. USA or Netherlands, who do you like?
In the World Cup.
Who's got the cooler logo, Audra?
The USA.
There you go.
All right. Good answer. Go U.S. men's national team. We won't have a show. By the time we're in our next show, the U.S. men's national team in the World Cup will be in like the round of like the Final Four. So we'll be able to talk about that. Still have two wins under their belt.
A little faux.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens against the Netherlands. I don't know if it's going to be pretty, but we'll see. That's all for this edition of The Red Zone. For Dane Dreyfus and Blake Borgart and Audra Goff, I'm Mikey Fernelli. Have a great night.
To hear this and other past episodes of The Red Zone again, download the Red Zone podcast online at WZND.com or on iTunes. And of course, tune into The Red Zone every Thursday at 6, right here on 103.3 WZND,
the pulse of Redbird Nation.